All right. Well, hello, everyone. Wherever you're listening or watching throughout the week, if I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, my name is Tyler West. I get to serve as the founder and pastor here of the Vine Church here in Spartanburg. And I'm so thankful that we get to continue our series called Peaks and Valleys. Peaks and Valleys. Wherever you are, we are walking through that. And we are talking about trusting God through it all. And let's be honest, many of us right now, how many of us would say we're on a peak, we're on a mountaintop? Okay, we got some mountaintops. How many folks would say we're probably in a valley? And financially, relationally, physically, somewhere, most of us would say we're probably in a valley. Let's be real. This season that we've been in, we've been in lockdowns, isolation, job change. Many have saw some financial things happen, maybe some physical things happen. Many of us would say we're in a valley. And what we're walking through in this series, believe it or not, as you can tell already, we're spending most of our time on the valley part. We're going to talk about the peak, I promise you, but we're spending most of our time in the valley because that's the thing that we need to help sustain us, because Jesus teaches us things on the peak to help shepherd us through the valley, and as we go through the valley, if we would trust him, we're on our way to another mountaintop, if we will trust him in that. And if you say, well, there's no way I'm on my way to another mountaintop, understand, you wouldn't still be here if you weren't going there, because the highest mountaintop of all is in heaven, right? Like, to be with him in God's glory forever. So that is what we're going to be talking through. Our anchor verse throughout this series is Psalm 139:10, and it says, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. That's what we're going to walk through all the way through this series. That's our anchor verse, to be reminded that no matter what we are walking through, Jesus is with us and he will hold us fast. So, speaking of that, as we dive in to 1 Peter today, before we get there, this is going to be good. It's going to be good, I promise. I'm going to need some participation though. How many of us have ever been on like a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt? Okay, 100% participation. Absolutely. All of us have, right? Like, we've all been on a treasure hunt or a scavenger hunt. Just be perfect at Easter, but it's not Easter. Don't worry about it. Wherever you are, we've been on all of those. So remember, you go through, you get some clues, you're trying to figure out, what's the goal if you're on a treasure hunt? To find the treasure, right? And at the end, when you get to the treasure, you want to be the first to find it, right? Like, no way around it. If you're the second to find it, it's great to say you've been there, but you missed out being on the first to find it. So when we look at treasure and people searching for treasure, if we're honest, the best movies are the ones where people are in search or a journey or a quest for a treasure. And when that happens, there's always someone foiling them, right? See, I don't think it's somebody fooling them. It's smarter because they let somebody else do the work and then you just get there before anyone else, right? Like, it's a smarter one that happens to be there. If you've got siblings, it could be that. So when we go through, I just want to have this perspective today before we get into 1 Peter 1, whatever we're doing. And I just want to say, all of us are searching for treasure. You didn't know that. Be great for a pirate series, right? Like, all of us are searching for treasure. As a matter of fact, I have a little makeshift box here. Some of us in this season have been searching for treasure. We're searching for the treasure of health. This isn't a political statement. Don't get mad or flag us. You're searching for health, and health just isn't coming through. Some of us are searching for the treasure of wealth. We think that if we just have one more dollar, it's all going to work out. If we just have one more dollar, we'll get out of the valley. We'll be on the mountaintop. If we just had one more space of peace. Maybe the wealth we're searching for, I don't have it in here, but it would be great, is perhaps a college degree, which is great in and of itself, but if it's what God's called you to is what it's all about. Maybe it's a college. Some of us are in the search for something to eat. Praise God, we're in the house of the Lord today. We got something to eat. That's the treasure that we seek. Some of us want to grow our family, and that's the treasure we want to seek. Now, as a side note, when I got this out to go in a little treasure box this morning, we were laughing and saying, Tyler, the diaper's not going to be big enough if you need a change. So we were trying to figure out how to string 30 of these together, and it still wouldn't be big enough. Anyway, maybe it's growing your family. Hey, maybe it's a relationship. It's the wedding. That's the treasure you're seeking. The little ring pop, that ring on you, you're looking for the wedding. That's a treasure. Maybe it's leisure. That was the British accent coming out. Maybe it's leisure. Maybe you are looking to have some fun with a deflated beach ball. I don't know. Wherever it is, maybe it's a vacation you search for. Maybe it's the keys to the car or house. Whatever it is, many of us are searching for treasure, even in the midst of the valley. And so today, that's the perspective I want us to have as we're searching through that, as I'm trying to make my mess as minimal as possible, as we're searching through that and we're going through 1 Peter. Because here's the cool thing about treasure. Morality isn't selective when it comes to searching for the treasure, is it? There's a right and wrong, isn't there? Hey, when I say that, what I mean by that, we're searching for treasure. If you believe that morality isn't selective, then let's talk about the Christmas Eve thing you need to go pick up at the store, and the line's backed up out the door, and someone broke in front of you after you've been in line 2 hours. You find out real quick there's a difference in right and wrong, and it's not selective, is it? Everybody's angry. Well, when it comes to searching for your treasure, understand that if morality isn't selective, then it means there's a higher power who has set forth what really is right or wrong to help us understand the right treasure to seek and the wrong one to seek. And so as we go through that, that's what we're going to learn through today, as we learn through end result of your faith. End result of your faith. So we're going to be in 1 Peter 1 again. We're going to start off where we left off last week. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. If you don't know where 1 Peter is, start at the back of your Bible in the New Testament. Keep flipping left. It's one of the last books in the Old Testament. You will get there. If you're watching, wherever you're watching, our Vine production team's absolutely incredible. They're going to make sure it's on the screen where you're watching, but you can also follow along with us on your phone on the Vine Church app. Go to the vine.tv/app. I'll ask for your phone number. It will send you the download link. You can see the message. You're going to see a tab that says notes where you can take notes. There's this own Bible in there. You can read with us through the Bible app, send us a prayer request, all kinds of ways to connect with us on the vine.tv/app when you download that today. So let's dive into end result of your faith. And 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7 is where we're starting. It's where we left off last week. And it says this: "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." Now remember last week we talked about the search for peace we have, and we talked about the brick and how we look for shalom peace. And shalom peace in Hebrew is talking about a wall being built and something completing the wall and having completeness. Well, this is once again kind of where we're going to pick up in this search that we have. Peter says, and he's walking through, and he answers the question, why we have trials. Why do we have trials? The tested, proven genuineness of your faith to give Jesus praise, glory, and honor. See, right now in this season we live in this world we live in, creation will push back against you. Once again, reminding us where we were last week, creation will push back against you and say, hey, you go through trials in your life because you're a sinner. It's your sin that causes trials. And that's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. We go through trials to be molded to be who Jesus created us to be. Sin will only cause us to be destroyed. So as we go this, religion will tell us we're going through trials because God is judging us. Right now, I bet if you went on social media right now, that's what you would hear. The reason we're all going through a pandemic is God is judging us, and I would move that it's actually something greater than that. What if he's not judging us, but his grace is consuming us, and he's bringing us to a place and a space to see him like never before? That's not judgment. That's grace. New Age philosophy would say, well, you're only going through trial. There's no way you're going through trial, because if you don't think it, change your thinking, and if you don't believe it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. You want a good example? Remember Rocky? I don't remember if it's Rocky 3 or 4. No pain, no pain. Like he's in Russia and they're going and he's training. No pain, no pain, no pain. New Age philosophy will say, well, no trial exists that you don't believe exists. So you can't be going through trial. And I would hate to say, I think the last 19 months have told us it really does exist. The trial in the valley exists. We see Christianity pushes back and says there's a reason for the trial. Because it's a test. It's a test of our faith. What we truly believe in, what we have faith in to get us through. You see, for the moment we exist, we have a cause. And right now, if you can hear me or see me, you exist. Yay. Like, you exist. There's not a question about that. You exist. Like, it's not anything else. You're not somewhere in a different matrix. Like, you exist. You hear me. You see me. From the moment you take your first breath, you have a cause. You say, there's no way a baby has a cause. They do. They have to survive. They're looking for you for feed, clothing, like food, clothing, and shelter. As they grow older and as we mature, sometimes it's a sport or it's grades in school or an instrument we play or something you get a part of, be a part of, like getting $5 toys for selling $8,000 worth of wrapping paper. I don't know. Whatever it is, like, there's a cause that we get behind. And the reason this is important is when we go through the trial that we're in, the cause we get behind is the treasure that we're seeking. It all plays out that way. See, this is why the treasure is important and the treasure that we seek. When I say we have a cause and we have to know what our cause is and what we're called to do is this. Something Jesus hit me with, and I believe that parents will identify with this more than even I can. I don't have kiddos, so I can't. So I'm the kiddo in this situation, so I'm sorry. But parents, let me ask you something. How much do your kids love you on Christmas morning? Aren't you just the best? Those toys that are going to be broken within hours, probably. All the things that are given, like, it is awesome, especially when littles are there. It's awesome. Now, let me ask you this. How much do they love you at bedtime? Kicking, screaming, why? Maybe punches thrown. I don't know. It depends on your kid. But, like, Christmas time and bedtime are two different experiences you have as a parent and as a Christian. If we only love Jesus at Christmas time, and we don't love him at bedtime when it's hard, then that means that our faith isn't in him, because the reason he's putting us to bed is so that we can rest in him. It's the treasure we seek. And so wherever we are right now, this valley that we may be in, we've got to keep trusting him and the faith that he wants us to have, and it's going to show him revealed. So here we go. Church, right now, this is how this can help us in this season, what we can rest in. I will be honest with you. Right now, across the church, I told you last week about 9/11, and I remember how overwhelmed the churches were. Right now, I believe in the local church around the world, Jesus has put us through a trial, we talked about by fire, to burn off consumerism in the church. Really, truly. Like, it is setting the church up to contribute like never before, which is why I'm so thankful here. We do all we can to contribute all we can. We aren't perfect. We don't have it all together, but we try to follow Jesus faithfully in every obedient next step he calls us to. But I'll be honest with you right now, that isn't always the case. And I'm sorry for that it isn't the case. But like in the church around the world, Jesus is helping us get there. And you say, well, how can I contribute? I don't have bazillions of dollars, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. And here's your contribution, church. Here's the contribution that we can have. We suffer well in the midst of the trial. We suffer well. That's what sets us apart. We suffer well. We suffer well. We don't freak out at what's going on. And to the freak out king, that's probably somewhere in their life. We don't freak out at what's going on. We suffer well because we have Jesus. We have a living hope. So that's why we go through these trials. That's a rehash really quick of last week. Let's keep going forward. If you're with me, give me an amen. Amen. We're good. First Peter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is talking about Jesus. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with what? Inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, Peter is saying what you treasure is what you will seek, and if that's what you seek, then what you seek is what you have faith in. And the thing at the end of this pilgrimage, this journey, this thing that we're on, and this breath that is life, this small mist that is life, the thing that we live our life for, the thing that we treasure the most, will show the end result of our faith. And in this world, we can have all these things that are our faith, all of these things that we think can save us, all of these things that we can work towards, but they will only lead to death if it's not Jesus being our treasure. You see, all the way through this, that's kind of where we get stuck. You see, the great of God is unmerited. We have the unmerited, unfavored, favored grace of God, the unmerited grace of God. We are covered by that. His plan is in that. But here's the beautiful thing about grace. Grace says you can't earn your salvation. Absolutely. You cannot earn it. But here's the thing about grace too. It requires effort. Grace requires effort. For us to experience the unmerited favor of grace, grace of God, something had to be done. Somebody had to work. Jesus had to work. He had to do the finished work of a cross. Work had to be done. In other words, there's this thing called the sovereignty of God, where God's word goes out, his plan goes out, and it goes forth, but the responsibility of man is to respond. And there is nothing on this earth that is black and white like our response to who God is and who Jesus is. It's yes or no. There is no in between. It isn't there. You can read Revelation. You can read about being lukewarm. There is no in between. And you say, well, my response is I don't believe that. Then your response is no. My response is I want some of that. And your response is no. Yes or no. Is Jesus who he says he is? That's what we get to show the world in the end result of our faith. Because as we go through these trials and we suffer well, we will have inexpressible and glorious joy. Christmas Day, y'all, joy. Ah! Just ready to go, wrapping paper everywhere. Love you all the time. I've already broke the toy. Christmas joy everywhere. And this is why we are set apart, church. When we become a Christian, we're both sadder and happier. Prosperity gospel tells you you're only happy in Jesus when you have him. And that's just not the case. We suffer trials. Why are we happier? Because we have a salvation that we cannot lose unless we choose to reject it. Why are we sadder? Because we're more in tune to the pain and suffering in this world. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Really quick side note on 9/11 and everything that happened. I talked about that last week. But as I've matured, I move to tears thinking about it. When I see what's going on, as I grow and I mature in faith, I'm moved. I remember as a teenager, it was just big deal. We're going to war. I don't know what's going to happen. It was scary. It was awful. But it wasn't you may have shed a tear, but it was just man, somebody lost a loved one. But now looking back at all of that, you're welled up. You're saddened at the brokenness of the world, knowing that Jesus is the hope of the world, and that's what we get to share. So where am I going with this? Jonathan Edwards was an 18th century evangelist. If you know him, he led the First Great Awakening, one of the central figures of the First Great Awakening here in the United States way back in the day. And he speaks of this joy for us. And this is going to sound really familiar when we get there, especially the last one. And he says three reasons why the Christians have joy, why Christians have joy in all seasons is this. We know our bad things will turn out for good. It's Romans 8:28 all over again. He is working everything out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, right? For his good and our glory. He's working out to his glory and to the good of those who are called according to his purpose, right? We know that even our bad things, he can redeem and restore to be used for his glory. So our bad things will turn to good. So we can have joy for that. Our good things can never be taken away. That's the second reason we have joy. Our good things, salvation, heaven, joy in all seasons, Jesus, our treasure, cannot be taken away from us. So our bad things will turn to good. Our good things will never be taken away. And the third thing is something you hear all the time, and this is where it comes from. It's specifically here. You'll hear it here at the Vine Church. This is really where it comes from. The third reason why a Christian should always have joy, Edwards writes, the best things are yet to come. Because nothing in this world compares to the glory of God in heaven for eternity. The best is still yet to come. The best is still yet to come. So only in Christ can these horrible, the nightmare vacation, can it be redeemed, right? The nightmare real estate purchase can be redeemed, praise God. The nightmare car purchase, the nightmare relationship, the nightmare of just everything in life, the craziness, the chaos of life. Only in Jesus can that be redeemed. And once it's redeemed and the goodness is there and he is in it, it can't be taken away unless we choose to reject it. And if we stay with him, seeking him as our treasure, we can show the world that the best thing is yet to come. This world can never offer it. That's why we have joy in all trials. And Peter goes on to say in verse 10 and 11 this, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted, look at this, the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. For us to have salvation, suffering had to happen. Christ had to suffer for us. And isn't it great that he did? Because as we go through these sufferings, he already knows the way through it. And I don't know about you, but it's so great if I'm on a treasure hunt to follow somebody that knows the way, isn't it? Instead of having to blaze the trail yourself. Otherwise, I just put the foot to the gas and let's see where it goes, baby. Like, it's good to go, right? Put it on cruise control. It knows the way, right? Like, it knows the way. It'll figure it out. Soon enough, we'll have those vehicles here. Why do I share that? The Old Testament prophets and saints were on a treasure hunt. And we get to be on this side of the treasure. They were on the side where they were waiting for him to come. We're on the side where he's already appeared and done the work for us. How much more can we share that treasure with the world? But you see, the problem is, since the beginning, we thought that the treasure sought was only about us. We thought we could save ourselves. We thought, because we like it, we thought we were the hero of our story. We thought it was all about us. And what that always does is it leaves you empty. Because the hero of our story isn't us. If we go throughout this entire life searching that treasure that the world has and all that it has to offer in the end, we'll only come up empty. But you see, with Jesus as the hero of our story and the treasure that we seek, the thing that we'll find in the end is life. Life. Peace. Joy in all seasons. The thing that we're searching for. Peter goes on to say in verse 12 and 13, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of these things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's my favorite part of this verse. We're going to come back to it in a second. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. All right, so basically this is what Peter's saying. This is the cool thing. This side of the treasure. Verse 12, this is my favorite part of this verse, and I'll just be honest with you. Even angels long to look into these things. If you go back to the Greek word for that is epithumio. Epithumio is the Greek word, and it literally means they lust after being a part of the gospel being shared that we get to be a part of. It is a well, it is a treasure that they keep going back to. Like when we declare that Jesus is King and he is the Savior of us and he is our Lord, they lean in and can't get enough of it so much they wish they were here, even in the valley. I wonder if we had that perspective, that those who are in eternity right now long to be a part of what we're a part of. Would we think we weren't made for a time such as this? They long for it. They treasure it. But you see, many of us, we can't do that right now because we're stuck. We're stuck between duty and delight. Duty. I need to make sure that's right. Not duty. I had a diaper up here earlier. Duty. D-U-T-Y. Duty and delight. We're so busy trying to be dutiful to the Lord in this season that we miss out on knowing that he is our, that we are his delight and operating out of that. What I mean by that is so many times, even now, maybe you're in the midst of your this trial in this season, and you're just trying to go through the sacraments. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're only doing that to get an outcome, you're going to come up short. Because if you're just doing it out of duty, eventually, when you get to the mountaintop, the duty will stop, and eventually, you'll see your idol on the next mountain, because it won't be Jesus. But if we operate out of delight, delight is different. Why do I say that, and why is that important? Jesus did not come to this earth for us out of duty or obligation. He did the will of the Father, and it says, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. Delight, delight. He did it, delight. He did it out of delight, delight. And I don't know about you, but if something is what I delight in, it will be a treasure that I seek. If I delight in cupcakes, I'm going to come here on Sunday morning. Like, if I delight in fresh fruit, I'm going to maybe grow fresh fruit. If I delight in a house, I'm going to make sure that my address is in the most prominent place. If I delight in college degree, it's going to be filled on the most prominent wall in my house. Whatever it is, whatever I delight in will be what I treasure and what I seek, and will hope that in the end, my faith will not be proven wrong, and that will bring me sustainability and hope. But we know that nothing in this world can. Only Jesus can. And so we have to seek Christ as our treasure. You see, in the midst of this, all the way through, wherever we are when it comes to our treasure, as we search for that, we talked last week about how we are the building blocks of the church, how we are his church that he is building all the way through. And see, I had a little something on a keychain, so I'm going to throw it back in here and I'll put it out so that way you know I'm not trying to pull a trick. But one of the most things, I just put it off my keychain, that was inside this treasure, is very insignificant to others, is this thing. But to those who are in Jesus, it's everything. See, it's the moment that God's glory was fully revealed, his plan was shown to the earth. It was no longer a mystery, that he delighted in us and he was making a way for all to be in relationship with him. And it's the cross. Tiny compared to that deflated beach ball, isn't it? Tiny compared to that mask or that bucket of food or that ring pop or even that diaper. Tiny sum, but everything to those who were in Christ. And so, I wonder what treasure we're seeking in the midst of this. See, Jesus didn't just come to be our Savior. He came to be our treasure, the thing that we seek first, the thing that in the midst of trial, in the midst of searching for treasure, in the midst of trying to find everything, he came as our treasure so that we could be set free from the bondage that sin leaves us in, be set free from the things of this world and the trial and the suffering, the health that fades, the bank account that fades, the house that falls apart, the vacation destination that's ruined in a hurricane, the food that comes up short or is highly overpriced in this season, the health that we seek in terms of maybe a mask or whatnot. He comes so that none of those things should consume us. So is he our treasure? That's the question. That's the question we have to answer. See, some of us get stuck in that. But I want to tell you this. When I look back in life, and every treasure that I sought that wasn't Christ, I will tell you, Christ is the only treasure that sought me first. The only one that sought me first. And the same is true for you. Nothing in this world, that vacation didn't seek you out. They paid for a Facebook ad. That didn't seek you out. That mask, it didn't seek you out. It was a website that took your search history and it found a little ad that it put on there that pointed it to you. That house that was there, well, there's a good realtor that was involved that made you know that that was the house you needed to be in, right? Like that education that you went after, well, that was just something that somebody told you in school that said you make X amount of dollars more if you have this type of over the other. That food that only served you for a second, it'll only satisfy you to the next meal. You got to go seek it out all over again. That car, man, it's going to break down. If you don't change the oil in that thing, it ain't going to work no more. And sometimes you got to worry about the other people in their cars more than you got to worry about your own. Those things in this world, once you find that treasure, you got to go look for something else. But when you find this one, you find all you need. And you realize that it was there with you the whole time. Here's what I'm getting at. John 14, verse 1 through 7 says this. Jesus says this when it comes to this trial, this valley that we're in. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? He prepared for you and I, church. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. In the midst of the valley, is this the place he prepared for us? Absolutely not. So it's just a season. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And many of us, like Thomas, say this today. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Isn't it great to follow somebody who already knows the way? The way through season, the valley, the mountain, the things in this world, all great in of themselves, but will never satisfy as our treasure. Jesus is saying to all of us, I am the way. He is the way. He is the way. He is saying to each and every one of us, he is the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. He is the way. He is the only treasure that will give us life and satisfy us and sustain us. And so, in the midst of this valley, what treasure do you seek? Do you keep going to this little box and coming up empty-handed? You go to get a treasure and you realize, oh, it's empty. My faith was that this thing would satisfy and sustain me. And it just won't. Now I got to go chase the next thing. And my friend, how exhausting is that? Because for a moment it feels like Christmas Day, doesn't it? Then it just feels like bedtime. And you're kicking and screaming. But you see, in Jesus, you find the life and the peace and the sustainability. You find the thing that sustains you through every season. And so with this moment, I just want to tell you, this is why we do what we do. This is who we are as a church. We, and verse 12, are a part of what angels long for. We will always declare Christ crucified in this house, because it is only him that we can find the treasure that we truly seek, the one who sought us first. So with every head bow and every eye closed right now, the reason we do this every week is for those who have never realized that Christ is their treasure to find him, and for those who do know him as the treasure to continue to seek him as their treasure in each and every season. And so right now we're about to pray this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer. It's the end result of your faith. It's the faith of this prayer that saves you. That Jesus is the treasure, that you are on a quest, on a journey. This thing in this life prepares you for the next. The thing that you're searching for to prepare you for the next life is Christ Jesus. To prepare you for eternity. It is the only thing that will sustain you in this life as you go into the next. Everything else will only leave you empty and to death. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray this prayer as a family, and I'm going to ask everyone to repeat these words after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you can live the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Die the death I deserve on the cross. Love me enough not to stay, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step. With every close, I just want to say, I'm going to ask you to courageously respond, boldly respond on the count of three. If for the first time you can say that you realize that the things of this world could never satisfy or sustain you, that the sin in this world that you are in bondage in without Christ only leads you searching for more and coming up short, that you have professed, confessed your Lord and Savior and surrendered your Him on the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you and you're in the house, would you raise your hand? If that's you and you're online, would you respond? Would you let us know? If you're listening throughout the week, would you reach out to us through the app or 864-580-6698 or prayer? Would you please do that today? Let us know if you have taken that first step. We want to walk with you through this season seeking Christ as your treasure. And for everyone else, would you stand as we sing? In this moment, as we sing this and we walk through this time, would we just believe that even in the midst, in the season that we're in, that Jesus is sustaining us, that he is holding us, that our soul is well, that we can be at peace with our soul, that if he is the treasure that we seek, we got all we need. Let's stand and worship. So before we go, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to say, I want to invite you to come hang out with us next week, and I believe as we continue in this series, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have awesome food. We have folks who seek Christ as their treasure, but also folks who understand what it's like to walk through the valley. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to be praying, myself included, present company included, that we would live out it as well. It is something that it's one of my favorite hymns. It's one of my favorite songs, if I'm completely honest with you, and it's because it's something that we can live out if Christ is our treasure. So let's pray, and then we're going to go have an awesome day. Dear Jesus, thank you again that we get to be here. We've done nothing to deserve this, Jesus. We can't earn your grace, we can't earn your favor, but yet you freely gave it for us. You went before us, you did what we couldn't do by going to the cross, living the perfect sinless life we couldn't live and going to the cross, but then you rose again so that we could have life. So I pray as we rest in you that we would show the world, even in the midst of the valley, you by showing that it is well with our soul. In the midst of the valley, it's not easy to believe that, Jesus. So I just pray that you would wrap your arms around each and every person that is not well in their soul right now, Lord. I pray that it would be reminded of the love you have for us, reminded that we are never alone as long as we have you. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait to go out and live out this week pointing to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. The best is still yet to come.